day.
Good morning and welcome to the Shattering Myth program. This is the place where we expose the misconceptions which are associated with religion and politics, with military and economic schemes. So instead of merely presenting the news this morning, as is customary, we're going to go behind the headlines and try to ascertain why these things are happening, what they portend for our future, and what the motivations are of those who are perpetrating these deceptions. Then, during our second hour, as we normally do on this program, we're going to engage God on His terms by way of His Torah teaching. Our goal will be to replace religion with reason. Our phone number, for anyone who would like to join in this conversation, is 877-300-7645. At the end of our first hour yesterday, Larry called in from Florida, one of our regular listeners, and quoted a line from the President Obama's statement to the United Nations in the aftermath of the murder of the American ambassador and three others in Benghazi, Libya. At the time, the President of the United States was sponsoring commercials that American taxpayers were paying for that featured he and Secretary of State Hillary Clinton condemning the movie that they had said was responsible for inciting spontaneous hatred and rage that led to our ambassadors and staff being killed. And so the President of the United States made a series of statements to the United Nations, and Larry quoted part but not all of his statement, and we had one of the listeners to the program say, you know, it's not appropriate to take his statement out of context. There was more to it than that. So I'm going to read the entire statement to you, and then we're going to analyze the six issues with it, because there is so much we can learn about the mindset of those who would conspire to deceive by this statement, that it's worthy of our time this morning. The statement that the President of the United States made before the United Nations is that the future, this is specific now, the future must not belong to those who slander the Prophet of Islam. But to be credible, those who condemn that slander must also condemn the hate that we see in the images of Jesus Christ that are desecrated, or churches destroyed, or the Holocaust that is denied. That's the entirety of the statement. All right, there are six huge concerns with this statement that probably were not discussed or analyzed anywhere in the news. The president was not held accountable. The first is that this statement was made specifically to infer that the movie about Muhammad had influenced the future, that it had been the source of the rage, and that we must not allow expressions like this to influence future events. So the first aspect of it is the entire strategy that the president deployed, blaming a movie which presented Muhammad as the source of the rage that led to the deaths of Americans in the embassy, was a lie. He knew it was a lie at the time that he said it, and yet he chose to deceive, to beguile, rather than communicate the truth about this, the single most deadly issue of our day. And of course, we then must ask why this was days after the event when he knew full well that that the movie had nothing to do with the murder of the Americans, why he continued to promote the lie. And we discussed that yesterday. His motivations were twofold. One of those is that he did not want to have fundamentalist Islam accountable. And when one recognizes that the murders were perpetrated by Sharia, by Ansar Sharia, the friends, the supporters of Sharia law, fundamentalist Islamic law, there is no hiding from the fact that those who killed the ambassador and three other staff members were fundamentalist Muslims. Not Muslim extremists, fundamentalist Muslims. That would therefore make everything this president has said about Islam a lie. And so his primary motivation for lying to the American people rather than telling them the truth was because he did not want to acknowledge the fact that his every statement about Islam was untrue. That his entire global reset, where he praised the great accomplishments of Islam, praised the religion of Islam, said that America was not and would never be at war with Islam, was all a lie. And so there was no way he was ever going to admit that this was perpetrated by the supporters of Sharia law. What was the second motivation? We talked about that yesterday as well. The fact that this president, like so many others that will follow him, wants to define the enemy as those who hold extreme positions. If you are willing to stand up above the crowd and tell the truth, that is an extreme position. And as such, anyone who doesn't go along with the flow, who isn't willing to acquiesce to the lies that encompass politics, religion, and patriotism, is going to be labeled an extremist, and it is them that will be identified as the enemy. So this fit his agenda perfectly, the lie. The truth did not. So that's the first of six issues with this, is the implication that this telling the truth, being communicating a message, has to be stopped because it cannot be allowed to influence the future. The second issue here is that he said twice, use the term slander. Look up slander. Pull out any thesaurus, pull out any dictionary. What you will find under slander is slur, something that maligns, insults, defames, libels, smears, slights, disparages, vilifies, or that which engages in character assassination. And so he was inferring that this movie slandered the Prophet of Islam. But what did the movie do? It depicted Muhammad as a pedophile. He was a pedophile. It's a fact. Statement of fact. Irrefutable fact. It inferred that he was a rapist. That is a statement of fact. The oldest Islamic sources specifically delineate three occasions where they name the victim. They name the circumstance and the victim where Muhammad engaged in rape. The Quran endorses rape. Muhammads were rewarded for their jihadist activities by allowing to rape the captives with Muhammad's blessing. He was a rapist. He was a pedophile. The Quran goes to great lengths to try to exonerate Muhammad of having sex with his son's, adopted son's, wife. That's incest. So Muhammad was presented that way. He was also presented as a mass murderer. Muhammad, in the first 10 years of the Islamic era, led and inspired 75 terrorist raids. They were all murderous. Statement of fact. And so the movie even presented Muhammad in this trailer as being suicidal. That also is a statement of fact. The oldest sources pertaining to Muhammad's initial revelation state specifically that he tried to commit suicide because he knew the encounter he had been with a demon, and he knew that he had become demon-possessed, and he admitted as much, and he attempted suicide. Muhammad was indeed suicidal. So you can't slander someone when you tell the truth. The trailer was poorly made. It was poorly acted. It was poorly produced. But themes contained in the movie were accurate. So here is the president who presents himself as an expert on Islam telling us the opposite of what is true. And there is really nothing more important for the world. If the world knew the truth about Muhammad, Islamic terrorism would cease to exist. You would instantly free. If the truth that is conveyed in Prophet of Doom, which is based entirely on the oldest Islamic sources, were conveyed to the world by the leaders of the world, you would free millions, if not hundreds of millions of people from this horrible poison of Islam that is so debilitating to them, to their societies, to their lives. And yet he took the opposite approach. When the truth was presented about Muhammad, he called it a lie, a slur, an insult. The next mistake here is he, rather than referring to Muhammad by name, he called him the prophet of Islam. Muhammad wasn't a prophet. There are two definitions of a prophet. One is a person who foretells the future. Well, Muhammad issued hundreds of prophecies. His most repeated prophecy was that the day of doom, the day of judgment, the end of the world would come 500 years after his first Quranic revelation. That was about 1,000 years ago. It didn't occur. Every other prophecy that he gave has not occurred. And most of them are unbelievably stupid. Like his most famous is that in the last days, the rocks themselves will cry out and say, there's a Jew hiding behind me. Kill him. Now, he has this all over Paul. Paul only issued one prophecy. That was about his so-called Harpazo rapture. And he said it would occur during his lifetime. He got it wrong. Muhammad got hundreds of prophecies wrong. All of them. Muhammad couldn't even get the past accurate. He's not a prophet. The second criterion for being a prophet is to speak on behalf of God. Allah spends all of his time in hell. Allah's persona, his nature, his character mirror that of Satan. Speaking on behalf of Satan does not make one a prophet. And we're just getting started. There's far more to this statement by the President of the United States that was specifically designed to befuddle, to beguile, to mislead, than we have already covered. I am Yada. This is Shattering Myths. Hello and welcome back to Shattering Myths. We were talking about this unbelievably misguided statement by the President of the United States following the murder of the U.S. ambassador and three others in the Benghazi embassy of the United States in Libya, where he was again trying to reemphasize the misguided notion that it had been a film that had slandered Muhammad, that had inspired the rage that caused the ambassador to be killed, when in fact that was not true, and he knew it was not true at the time, but to promote his misguided agenda, decided to continue with that myth anyway. But this first statement, and this is what we read yesterday, this statement is a complete statement in and of itself. What follows addresses a different audience. So let's just think about what he said here. The future must not belong to those who slander the Prophet of Islam. So if you are conveying, like I do in this program, and many of you do who are listeners to this program because you know the truth about Muhammad. If you convey the truth about any leading individual in the world, someone who is influencing the world, then none influencing it in a more negative way than the legacy of Muhammad. If you speak about the legacy of Muhammad and all of the hell that it has unleashed on the world, then you're not to be allowed. But you're not to be allowed to live. You're not to be allowed to influence anyone. You're to be silenced. What is he saying here? The future must not belong to those who slander the Prophet of Islam. So if you, is he part of this new movement that the Saudi Arabians are proposing and that the Islamic world wants, which is to make it a crime to say anything hateful about Muhammad? What is this? Is this an attack on free speech? Is it a is it an attack on the truth? Or is it an overt supportive statement of Islam that one must never be allowed to say anything critical of Muhammad? This being the case, that would make the president's statement every bit as vile, every bit as misguided as the average Wahhabist. The average Salafist Muslim, the average Islamic jihadist. This is their mindset. Kill those. Silence those who dare speak about Muhammad in an unflattering way. Now, I've got 10,000 emails from fundamentalist Muslims that convey the same sentiment to the President of the United States. Now, this is what he says next. But to be credible, those who condemn that slander, to be credible, those who condemn that slander. Now, he doesn't follow this to say, you know, to condemn that slander, why don't you just simply present the truth? Why don't you say, to condemn, you know, that if you want to be credible, prove that Muhammad wasn't a pedophile, prove that he wasn't a rapist, prove that he wasn't a terrorist, prove that he wasn't a mass murderer. But you can't. And so that's why he doesn't say, but to be credible, prove using words that those words are untrue. If you think that some word is spoken about Muhammad that is untrue, then use evidence and reason to demonstrate it so. But you see, he didn't say that. And he didn't say that because he knows it can't be refuted. So, credibility, according to this statement, is also being willing to condemn the destruction of churches and the denial of the Holocaust. And therefore, you are credible if you put in the same context a movie, which is nothing but images and sound, in the same context as the destruction of property and the mass murder of individuals. That we have to, that's the comparison. That you should condemn words and images just as you would condemn mass destruction and mass murder. What relative comparison is there between these things? And how does being willing to condemn mass murder equate one to being willing to also condemn in the same breath images, words, sound? If you want to be credible and you are opposed to something, you think that somebody has said something that is untrue, respond using words. Demonstrate it to be untrue. Don't go off and say, hey, you know, I'm condemning this this movie just as I condemn the Holocaust. These things aren't even remotely related. There is more to this, which we'll get to, and we have Larry on the line. After the break, I am Yada. This is Shattering Myths. Welcome back to Shattering Myths. Before we have Larry share his concerns about this statement, I one other concept I'd like to convey to you. In the midst of this, he says to be credible. So if you want to be credible, those who condemn the slander, who condemn that slander, and by the way, it was not slander, but to be credible, one must also condemn the hate. Now, when did hating that which is destructive, that which is injurious, that which is harmful, when did hating that which is harmful and destructive become bad? What happened to humankind, to our conscience, to our morality, when we began to denounce hating that which is harmful as being a bad thing? I mean, all one has to do is open one's eyes. You don't have to read Prophet of Doom. You don't have to read the Islamic scriptures to realize that 99% of today's terrorists are fundamentalist Muslims. They were influenced by Muhammad. To know that the 50 countries that are Islamic countries are the most hellish places on earth to live, with the least freedoms, the most sexist, the most destructive, the least civilized places on earth to live. Muhammad's influence, his legacy, is incredibly injurious and harmful. When did hating those things which are injurious and harmful to others become bad? Is that to say that if a parent despises that which is harmful to their children, is a bad parent? What happened to us that we have now entered a society where it is immoral to be opposed to that which is harmful? This statement by the President of the United States has got to be amongst the most beguiling, misleading, despicable comments ever uttered by a leader of any country in the free world. I mean, I am absolutely appalled. If there were ever a man that was the epitome of evil, if there were ever a man that is a living, walking prototype of the Antichrist, it is this man. Larry, what do you have to say?
Well, I doubt if I could add a whole lot to what you said. I mean, what he's really doing there is promoting political correctness. In other words, he's saying there's certain things that we shouldn't talk about, we shouldn't do, we shouldn't consider. You know, this makes us a better people. You know, one of the things that he did down in Kenya, I've got a good friend over there who happens to be a journalist, and she covered the writing of the new constitution over there. And the Constitution was, you know, they paid for this, Obama did, and Desmond Tutu went in there and helped to write it, the great Desmond Tutu. And, you know, one of the things that's in there is that in Kenya now is that you cannot say anything negative about Islam or right. It's considered hate speech.
Well, same thing is true in Israel. Same thing is true in France. Same thing is true in Italy. Same thing is true in Canada. I've been convicted of it in Canada.
That really?
And the same thing is true in Denmark. Same thing is true in the Netherlands. It's true in many countries around the world. And right now, and it's true, of course, in every Islamic country, all 50 Islamic countries, if you say anything critical of Muhammad, the sentence is death. You will be executed. So this is pervasive in the world, and there is a United Nations plea now to make saying anything critical of any religious leader to be considered hate speech and to be criminalized, where the person is deprived of either their life or liberty for saying anything critical of any religious leader or founder.
I guess they'll be coming after you soon.
Oh, I you know, if it wasn't for the fact that in doing this mission, particularly the willingness to expose and condemn Muhammad using his own words, if that wasn't sponsored by Yahweh and protected by Yahweh, I would have long since been dead. But because it is and was sponsored by Yahweh, and since it is a mission that has received his protection, I still live. As it relates to my freedom and the ability to influence people with evidence and reason, that time is drawing to a close. There will be a time in our not too distant future where what we are doing on this program, what we have done in yada yada, questioning Paul and Prophet of Doom will be illegal. And the fact that you can prove that what you are saying is factually and historically accurate won't matter. The truth will not be a defense.
Well, it already doesn't matter to many people. And I want to put a personal, kind of a personal spin on this. You know, people think that exposing Islam or exposing any religion is they're just words and we're just passing our time. You know, although all religion is deadly at some point in a yes. person's life, usually yes. probably upon their death.
Yes.
Islam is just one of those religions that can be deadly while you're still walking around.
Yeah, like Christianity and, was yes. for a better part of 1,000 years. I mean,
Inquisitions where
you
become...
That's correct.
That's true. Where you could... Well, when you're out robbing the world for 1,400 years, you know...
Yeah, I just watched a program on the torture implements that were beneath each of the not only the churches, but also of the castles that were through much of Europe during the reign of the Holy Roman Empire, where the church held sway and people were routinely tortured prior to being murdered.
Put to the question.
And the torture implements were unbelievably sadistic. So,
and it became a trade. I mean, your grandfather was a torturer. His grandfather was a torturer.
I want to be fair here. Yes, Islam today is the most deadly religion. But if you go back 40 or 50 years, socialist secular humanism, the religion of man, was the most deadly religion. And if you go back beyond that, it would be Christianity that was the most deadly religion.
So, in other words, all the things that we could question were all deadly. But I have to tell you, this happened yesterday. There's a group of martial artists in northern Iran. They're called Razmagah. Commando Irani, okay? And what they are, they go back, everything's in Persian. They don't want any Arabic influence.
Right.
They have nothing at all to do with Islam. Okay. But these guys are very serious martial artists. I've seen their training programs. My wife's cousin was involved in it. You go in there 4 or 5 years and you really hump it to get anywhere. And it's this type of more like kung fu, and it's all done outdoors. Well, they went to the master of the school a couple of years back, when people got out in the street and begged Obama to come help them, and he just decided that he didn't care one bit about them. Because these lies, by the way, people do believe these lies.
Of course.
You know what? We're about freedom and democracy. These people
thought
that the U.S. would come in there and help them. And, of course, they ended up dead or raped in Evan prison is what happened.
Yeah. Well, fact of the matter is America couldn't help them. Couldn't help them, shouldn't have helped them. And I understand that we would like to be able to help every oppressed person. There was no way to help them.
Well, let me explain some. If they would have just threatened, these guys had jets on the tarmacs ready to run. Point is, this guy, this particular headmaster, they came to him and they wanted him to train Basiji, which are the Islamic religious police over there.
Mm-hmm. Mm.
He said, no, we don't do that. We have nothing to do with Islam. And he says, as a matter of fact, Islam is not a part of the Persian culture. Well, he finds himself in Evan prison, and of course he's awaiting an execution right now.
Right.
Yesterday, they were surrounded by tanks and helicopters, and they are, I guess, taking them all down right now.
Yeah.
And so
that's a shame. But
Islam isn't just a concept, it's real.
Yeah. It's the most intolerant, destructive religion ever conceived by man. And listen, all religions are bad. Islam just happens to be the most demonic. It is the most destructive. You know, a lot of people, I probably received 1,000 emails from people that said, you know, this is all well and good. That you did a comprehensive job of proving that Islam is destructive and deadly. But you're a hypocrite because you didn't do the same thing to Christianity. Now,
you do that with Christianity all the time.
Of course I do. But that's even though that's true, and that I wrote Questioning Paul, which destroys Christianity, and Yada Yada, which destroys Christianity, and The Introduction to God, also, which destroys Christianity. And I hold Christianity accountable for all of their abuses all of the time, as I did even at the beginning of this program when you came in. This is the point that people just don't seem to get. And it goes back to the president's statement. If you have used cited evidence accurately, which I, of course, didn't profit of doing, and you have documented your evidence accurately, which I, of course, didn't profit of doing, and you've cited credible sources, which I've cited the only credible sources and profit of doing, and if the evidence leads to the conclusions that are presented, then it either stands or falls entirely upon that evidence. Period. Whether or not you go off and you write a book as to whether or not donuts are fattening has nothing to do with the credibility of Islam is deadly and destructive.
That's right.
I mean, what is it with people and these comparisons? Like, that's what the President of the United States was saying. You're not credible in defending Muhammad unless you also condemn other bad stuff. One has nothing to do with the other. Nothing.
Right. Yeah, they're setting up a false logical pretense there, you know, and running in a circle, but that's all part of what correctness is designed to do. It's designed to limit conversation and thus cut off rational thought. I read that somewhere.
Yeah, and it's also designed to make being judgmental a crime. You know, God gave us an Asama, which is the seat of good judgment, our ability to discern between right and wrong, good and bad, that which is truthful and that which is deceptive. And yet, political correctness makes being judgmental so that you come to like some things and dislike others. You choose to accept others, some things, and oppose others. It makes exercising good judgment the ultimate crime. And when we do that, my friends, we lose all hope of being moral, civil, or right. Hello, welcome back to Shattering Myths. I'm your host, Yada. We have Larry on the line. We have come to an interesting crossroads in the long march towards its own demise of humankind. It has been said and thought for so many years since the time of enlightenment that religion was the enemy of reason and that secular man was reasonable. And here we have the champion of secular humanism promoting the death of reason, that political correctness has reached the point where exercising good judgment and being reasonable is now a crime. We've had the death of reason, and it came at the hands of the philosophers. Who would have thought it?
You know, Craig, these guys run the universities. I guess we would all think it if we've been around the last 20 years where communism has been alive and well in there.
You know, my eldest son came to know Yahweh, came to recognize that Christianity was false, and had a pretty decent relationship with Yahweh, went away to a liberal arts university, and took a minor in anthropology. And as a result of the liberal indoctrination, had so much of what he had previously known to be true questioned. And, my youngest son, who also came to know Yah, went to a Christian college for the last 3 years of his undergraduate studies, and for every possible moment had to fight every professor at that university, and would constantly hold them accountable, constantly battling them, presenting the truth to his classmates and opposing his teachers, and he fought the good battle and survived it.
I'm surprised he graduated.
It was tough. I mean, there were papers. For example, he wrote a paper on Machiavelli, where he compared many of Machiavelli's strategies to Islam and to Paul, and the reasoning was stunningly rational, and the evidence was unequivocal. And this was a paper that he wrote that was so far beyond an undergraduate collegiate paper as to better than most master thesis. And he was given a C- on the paper because it did not convey what the professor wanted to convey. It didn't promote the myth. And so much of our world is polluted this way. It is, you know, our universities have become cesspools. Our politics has become a cesspool. Our religious institutions are cesspools. Yeah, our courtrooms are cesspools. I don't know how much experience many of our listeners have with the justice system in America, but if you've been in it, one thing you know for certain, there is no justice to be found there. Right, truth, they don't matter. They never have in the justice system. It is a grossly unjust. We have created a tragic mess for ourselves, and I think it all boils down to two things. We have been conditioned to trust and rely upon human institutions as opposed to trusting and relying upon Yahweh's guidance as it is presented in the Torah, prophets, and Psalms. And rather than turning to God for answers, we have chosen to turn to human pontifications.
Yeah, what you said earlier about the Nesama, isn't it Nesama working with the Ruach that really teaches us the truth? Isn't that so? And if that is so, and we shut down the Nesama, then how would we ever know the truth? It's why
I think that's only partially true. Can I interject just one moment? Yeah,
sure.
That's partially true. Yes, our Nesama is that unique human capacity to exercise good judgment, to be discerning, to transition from knowing, which is the product of observation, to understanding. That is what our Nesama does. It's that one unique thing that Yahweh gave to Adam that he did not give to any other Homo sapien that made him like us. But you need more than just your Nesama and the Spirit to know and understand the truth.
Oh.
You need the word. You've got to.
Yeah.
It is them helping us understanding the Torah teaching of Yahweh that provides the answers. It's not separate from that. I'm Yada. This is Shattering Myths.
Alex Jones here with a message that could revolutionize health in this country. Going back about a year and a half ago, I began to learn about the incredible health effects.